His name is Gladstone. I'm glad you were there to correct me, brother.
Thank you, Brother Ernie. Thank you for leading us in those good songs, especially that heart-searching one at the end. Well, it is a real joy to see you all once again. I believe I've been coming here for about 35 years, and you have made me feel like I'm part of the family at Park of the Palms. I was sorry to hear about Brother Elliot Van Ryn being in intensive care. Seems like just a short time ago we shared a funeral together here. Brother Gene Monroe, I remember Elliot spoke in here and I spoke out at the grave. He is a very dear friend, and I pray that the Lord will keep him here longer. 2 weeks ago today in Columbia, South Carolina, I spent a few hours with his oldest son, Keith. Pray for Brother Elliot. Pray for my wife. She has had some physical problems lately, but seems to be on the mend. And her hearing went down again. We've had to write a lot of notes recently. But I think it's going to get better. Yesterday, I should say, first of all, that I have entered my 50th consecutive summer speaking at Bible camps, youth camps. This past week, we had one up on the coast of Georgia. We saw 4 or 5 precious boys and girls trust the Savior, and I'll be going on to other camps, and I thank God for this privilege. At one camp, we had to take nicknames. So I took the nickname from Gladstone to Happy Rock. And boys and girls write to me, and they write on the envelope, Mr. Happy Rock, Darien, Georgia, with the zip. And they know who Happy Rock is at the post office. So I thank God for that privilege. Then yesterday, I went to Camp Landing. It was in 1942 that I entered the U.S. Army, and I didn't have a lot of sense then, and I volunteered for the parachute troops. They organized our regiment at Camp Landing, and yesterday, about 100 of us returned there to dedicate a drop zone in memory of the regiment. It ended up as the honor guard for General Eisenhower in Europe. But anyway, a drop zone is something airplanes fly over and then paratroopers drop in. And while I was there, a television man came up and interviewed me and took my picture and so forth. I wished I'd found out what station it was, even what city it was, but I told him something of the mercy of God. Out at on D-Day in 1944, 16 of us jumped out of an airplane at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I never thought I'd live through that day, but I have, by the grace, yea, the mercy of God. I wasn't a Christian then. 2 of the 16 are still alive. Then I told them that I'm a preacher now, and that on this day I'll be speaking over at Keystone Heights at a place called Park of the Palms. So we mentioned you on the television program, if it was indeed used. Now, what else was I going to say? Oh, yes. This is Father's Day. We honor our It is a great responsibility and a wonderful privilege to be a father. And I'd like to give this little definition that I think is real good. A Christian home is Father's kingdom, Mother's world, child's paradise. Think of it. Father's kingdom, Mother's world, child's paradise. Unfortunately, in many homes today across America, they know nothing of it, especially the children knowing nothing of a paradise. Another thing I wanted to mention was the girls singing, and my friend there singing that beautiful hymn, that beautiful song. Really appreciate that. Now, I didn't think, I remember one time going somewhere on Mother's Day, and I prepared a sermon for mothers, and when I got up to speak, they all went out to teach Sunday school classes, and I had all the fathers left. Well, I didn't think that would happen today, but I didn't think we'd have a lot of fathers to encourage or exhort, so I'm going to be giving something a little different. I was here a few years ago and spoke on Father's Day, and I still remember what I spoke about. My favorite father in the Bible. We read of him in Luke chapter 15, the father of the prodigal son. Remember that son got sick of home, and then he got homesick, and then, praise God, he got home because he had a wonderful father. And I like that story because it pictures our God. We'll mention something about that, Lord willing, at the end. But this morning I thought I would speak about the Father's house. And I'm turning to John's Gospel, chapter 14. The Gospel according to John, chapter 14. Where we have some familiar words. In verse 1, our Lord said, "Let not your heart be troubled." And I believe today we live in troubled times, and there are many troubled hearts, and we need this. "Ye believe in God, believe also in me," or "trust me." "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Then we might turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago." I believe he was referring to himself, because about that time he was stoned and left for dead. Then he says, "Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up, notice this, to the third heaven. And then he says again in verse 4, how that he was caught up into paradise. And finally, the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation, chapter 21. And there we're going to look at verse 4, where it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The Father's house. When I think of the Father's house, or when we think of the Father's house, especially if we are sure of going there, we realize that it may soon be a reality, and we get excited. We ought to get excited about going to the Father's house. But I'd like to share some thoughts about it with you. First of all, when I think of the Father's house, I think of a place afar off and yet very near. We read in the scriptures of three heavens. There is the atmospheric heavens where the clouds drift by and the birds fly. And then there are the starry heavens, and a few astronauts have gone out into there. And then we have the third heaven, the Father's house or paradise. Now, we do not have the longitude and latitude of the Father's house. We do know that it's way, way out there somewhere. Beyond the starry heavens, perhaps. But anyway, an American astronauts, they went out into space, and you recall they sent back a message, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. My, what an occasion that was. Then a Russian cosmonaut, they call him, he went out, and when he came back, he said, I didn't see any God out there, and I didn't see heaven either. The poor man, he died not long after that and found out the truth. And the truth is that God has put heaven far beyond the reach of mortal men, yea, far beyond even our dreams. But though it is so very far, yet it can be very near, because if death overtakes us who are on our way to the Father's house, why, we take an immediate flight there. I don't think it takes long. I would say we can be just a breath away or just a step away from heaven. It's a matter of being absent from the body, hallelujah, at home with the Lord. Now, once in a while, I take a flight to go to Dallas or Chicago or Washington. And where I leave, up at Brunswick, Georgia, they always take me through Atlanta, where I change planes. But I thank God that when I go to heaven, when I go to the Father's house, I won't have to go through Atlanta. It's going to be, hallelujah, a direct flight. Secondly, when I think of the Father's house, I think of how different things will be. Those awful things that mar this temporal scene will be things of the past. Heaven, or the Father's house, has been called the land of no more. And there will be no more, I've jotted it down, no more night there, no more curse there, no more thirst there, no tears, no death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain. But hallelujah, there will be no more sin, no more evil, filth, violence, crime, or prison. There'll be no judges, no lawyers, no policemen up in heaven. And then there will be no death, no funerals, no cemeteries, no sorrow, no tears. There will be no hatred, no strife, no wars, no disasters, no famines, no poverty, no depression. Some of you may not know what a depression is. That's when things get so bad that you can't find a job and you may go hungry. I lived through such a depression many years ago. In fact, my family was so poor that when I went to school, I couldn't pay attention. I just wanted to see if you're still awake. So there will be none of that in heaven, and there will be no anxiety about paying bills, utility bills, or insurance premiums. There will be no rent in the Father's house, and hallelujah, no taxes. There will be no frustration, no disappointments, no weariness, no loneliness. Everything will be perfect. Everything, or it will be a place of wonder and glory. We're going to have in the Father's house peace that passes understanding. We're going to have joy unspeakable, and we're going to be completely satisfied. If we have believed on the Lord, we can know contentment in this life. But the psalmist says, when I awake with thy likeness, I shall be satisfied. We will have satisfaction, or be completely satisfied when we get to the Father's house. And you know, we'll never get bored in heaven. After 50,000 years, it'll be just as real and fresh and wonderful as the day we first arrived there. Hallelujah. It's going to be all beyond our understanding. And then when I think of heaven, I wonder what activities we will engage in. Now, I do not think we're going to sit upon a cloud and play a harp, although I wouldn't mind doing that. But we are going to be active in heaven. We read that his servants shall serve him. And I don't know what manner of service it will be. Now is the time to proclaim the gospel. Now is the time to do our best for the Lord Jesus. But up there, we will serve him. And then I believe we're going to sing in heaven. Maybe Brother Ernie will get the opportunity to lead heaven's choir. But think of it, we're going to have millions of voices. No one's going to be out of tune, no rasping voices. We're going to sing one great song, yea, heaven's anthem, heaven's national anthem, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. And we'll make this whole universe re-echo his praises. My, what a song that is going to be. And I think we're going to learn in heaven. Maybe Brother Willie McNeil will be taking Bible classes up there. But we've got to learn more about the Bible, and maybe we'll do it up there. We'll learn more about redemption, more about creation, and maybe when we get to heaven, some of those inexplicable things that happened to us on earth will be understood. And we're going to enjoy fellowship in heaven. Sweet, sweet fellowship. Best of all, we're going to enjoy the Lord, and by the way, our God is infinite. Space is infinite. You can't go 10 billion miles out into space and find a sign saying, end of space. Goes on and on and on. And eternity is that way too. And our God is infinite. He had no beginning, no end, and he is infinite in his holiness, infinite in his love. We just can't understand it. But we can say, like the songwriter of old, O Christ, he is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. And then another one that is said, he and I in that bright glory, one deep joy shall share, mine to be forever with him. His, think of it, his that I am there. That's going to be his joy to have you in heaven with himself forever and ever. Well, whatever we do in heaven, it's going to be wonderful. We'll never get tired of it. We'll never be bored. It'll go on and on. And then when I think of the Father's house, I consider how long it will last. When I drive on highways in Georgia or Florida, sometimes I'll pass an old house that's falling into ruins, or might pass a cemetery and then wonder if the children who once played in that house are now buried there. But anyway, houses do fall into ruins. But not the Father's house. It will go on forever and ever. And when we get there, we're going to have new, perfect, resurrected, or changed bodies. They will be incorruptible, or they'll be immortal, and they'll be fashioned like unto the body of our Lord's. And we'll never, never get sick. We'll never, never die. It's going to go on forever and ever and ever. I often wonder if we're going to measure time when we're up there, but I don't think we'll see calendars or clocks on the wall of the Father's house. It goes on and on and on. David expressed it so well. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And what did the Apostle Paul say? And so shall we ever busy with the Lord. And you know, 100 million years from now, if we're measuring time up there, we will not tire of praising the Lord. He is worthy, and we will always delight, just as we sometimes remember the Lord and His death here on earth. Up there we will have the new prince, and every once in a while we'll burst out in praise for Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Then, when I think of the Father's house, I think of all those I'm going to see up there and all those I'm going to meet. Think of it. When we get to heaven, we're going to meet the saints of the Old Testament. And maybe we'll take time to talk with them. We'll talk to David and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Hannah and Ruth and maybe Samson and others. And we're going to learn a lot as we meet these people. But best of all, we're going to see loved ones who've gone on before. I have lost some children. I have lost sisters and so forth. Going to see some of them up there. And saints and friends over the years. In fact, this morning I was thinking of all the people I've known here at Park of the Palms who have now gone on to the Father's house. Oh, what a joyful reunion that is going to be when we see that father or mother or husband or wife or brother or sister or friend who's gone on before. Hallelujah. And we're just going to throw our arms around one another up there and be reunited forever and ever. And then I think we're going to eventually learn everyone up there, meet everyone and learn who everyone is. But I was over in the Bahama Islands some time ago, and I spoke about the Father's house or heaven. And when the meeting was over, the brethren, they go out into the vestibule, and they don't talk about football games or politics, but they talk about what they just heard. And I heard one man say, oh, what is it going to be like up there? He couldn't imagine. And then someone said, yes, and what's it going to be like not to be there? Think of that. Think of all those who will be banished from the presence and the glory of God forever. Are you going to be there? Are you 100% sure? Absolutely positive that you're going to be in heaven? You can have that assurance because God cannot lie. And the work of Christ stands forever, His death. And so, be sure that you're one of us. And then when I get to heaven, or when we get to the Father's house, I like to think of home. Someone has said the best way to spell heaven is H-O-M-E, home. When we believe on the Lord Jesus, we become strangers and pilgrims in this world. Strangers away from our home in a foreign land, and pilgrims, hallelujah, on the way home. And the last time I was here, I believe I spoke about over the hill and almost home. and I think I'm over the hill, and I think I'm almost home. And so how wonderful it is going to be to enter that heavenly home when the journey is done. And oh, what a welcome we're going to receive from the Lord. And then when I think of the Father's house, I think of not only the wonder that I will be there, but I think of how it was made possible for any of us to be there. And that is, even though we were shut off from heaven because of our sin, even though that barrier of sin was there and God couldn't receive us into His presence as such, hallelujah, He gave His eternal Son, that one who had an infinite life and who could die for all men, and even had the infinite capacity to bear all the sin of the world. By the way, did you know that God, He numbers all the stars, billions of them. He calls them by name, and He knows this little speck in the universe called planet Earth. And not only that, He knows every little speck running around on it, and He knows how many hairs are upon your head and my head. Now, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. But I mention that as I think of the Lamb of God on the cross. For those 3 dark, bitter, dreadful hours of anguish when He, the Holy One, bore our sin. And He completely endured and exhausted heaven's wrath against sin, and God raised Him from the dead. His work was finished, and hallelujah, by simple faith in Him, we can have salvation, we can go to heaven. Now, how do we get to the Father's house? Well, God does not require works. He requires death. Remember Abel at the altar at the beginning? He brought the fruit of his mind and muscle and put on the altar all those beautiful fruits and vegetables. God said no. And Abel brought a lamb, blew a lamb, and God said yes. God doesn't require our works. He requires death. And we either die for our sins or have someone who died for us, and hallelujah, we do. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We put the death of another between our sins and a holy God. And God sees us then accepted in the Beloved. He sees us reconciled. He sees us as one of His children. And when we die, we go to heaven. I put it this way. God gives us His Word, and He cannot lie, that if we trust the Savior, we'll go to heaven when we die. Think of it. You don't have to walk up an aisle. You don't have to raise a hand. You don't have to lift a little finger or bat an eye. Just look to the Lamb of God. Now, I've often said, and I may have said it here once, that we can go to heaven because of our good looks.
I sat there up to a nun one day, and she stared at me and said, "I think you need more than that." But it's true. You take a good look at yourself and you see a sinner. You have the poison of sin and death. Then you take a good look at the cross and you see the Savior dying for our sins, for my sins. Then you take a good look in the book and you see God's promise that if you trust Him who died and rose again, you'll go to the Father's house. That tells us of our need, the need provided for, and what we do about it. So my friend, if you've never yet believed on the Lord Jesus, do so today. And hallelujah! You'll be on your way to the Father's house. Brother Ernie, could you lead us in a verse or two? In closing prayer. And while you're coming up here, I want to read some of my favorite words. Very short. Think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding it home. The Father's house. I think one of the best ways to die is to go to bed and wake up in heaven. Hallelujah. Brother Rick Turner.